He's scheduled to pitch in Indy this week. I mean, you know, I think with him, like, there was speculation he was going to pitch in this series, you know, because he pitched yesterday.
There we go. That was Derek Shelton, the Pirates manager, very skillfully answering a question by saying that Paul Skeens is, quote, scheduled to pitch this week for Indy. It's the Derek Shelton Show. The Pirates manager is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Shelty, I would be remiss if I didn't first inquire as to your well-being. How are you today?
I am very well. How are you guys today? That's one of the first times I've heard my voice on the radio. I think I got a career in this maybe at some point.
It was a very interesting word you used there. He's scheduled to pitch this week. And what a golden opportunity for you today, Shelty. You could break the news to all Pirates fans and throw Paul and I a bone by telling us, is Paul Skeens going to pitch for the Pirates this weekend against the Cubs?
I'm going to tell you, if I ever broke news on this show, Ron Cook would completely disown me, lose my phone number, not text me anymore. So I think out of respect to Cookie, I'm probably not going to break any news. But I think what I said yesterday is exactly what I think.
So is there a chance he could? Is the door open at least for that? In other words, are you as an organization still unsure or not saying if it'll be in Indy or with the Pirates? Is there a chance he could pitch for the Pirates this weekend?
No, he's scheduled to pitch in Indy. I mean, as we continue to talk through everything with every single player, you can always say there's a chance. But, you know, right now that's where we're at.
Why not? And I know you're probably not, this is might be above your pay grade, but why don't you guys just tell the rest of the world when this is going to happen? You're driving us all crazy, Shelty.
Well, suspense is good for the mind, I think, you know. But I think this is, you know, something that as we've continued to talk about organizationally, when we feel it's time for Paul to pitch in the big leagues in Pittsburgh, then we will let, you know, number one, we would let him know first, and then we would let everyone else know.
Well, that leads to my final question on this matter. Paul might have one coming up because this is what everybody's talking about right now. And that is, did how he pitched on Sunday, anything about his performance sway the opinion maybe you were going to bring him up and then not?
No, there's nothing that – I mean, that start was the first time on regular rest. I mean, I think as we've talked about throughout the whole process, there is a process to this and there is a build up to it. And there's a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, nothing that has happened in one start or the other has affected anything in our thought process.
This is incredible, Paul.
Yes. Well, the one last, you know, conspiracy that we've got to run past you is that you've sent four guys from Altoona to Indianapolis. But you only sent two out of Indianapolis, so we're wondering, and the other, the two that you haven't sort of replaced one way or the other was a right-handed pitcher and an infielder. So does that mean you're going to bring Skeens and Nick Gonzalez from Indianapolis to Pittsburgh?
Well, I think one of those guys was Matt Frazier, right? He's an outfielder. We sent two guys there that are on the dev list. So I wouldn't look into minor league transactions. I mean, are we going to start talking about UFOs and moon landings and all these things? You guys are way conspiracy.
Wait a second. This is the last one, I promise. Because you guys
no,
are
wait, you said last one already.
No, I mean, but we need to get a definitive. You're very skillful at this, Shelty. I'm going to hand you that. Is Skeens definitively pitching for Indy this weekend? Yes, that's the question.
Let me ask you something. When you guys played the promo of me saying he's scheduled to pitch in Indy on Saturday?
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly right. He's scheduled to pitch on Indy on Saturday.
Right, but okay. That leaves it very open. Paul, you can go ahead.
Yes. Derek, you guys have had a couple of days now where you've hit the ball out of the ballpark, actually, you know, and it seems like slowly but surely, you know, it feels like the offense is coming around a little bit. Are you starting to feel a little bit better about what you're seeing in terms of the at-bats from guys? And obviously when you hit home runs, it changes games quickly.
Yeah, home runs are good. I mean, if we're going to vote for them, I would definitely vote. And if you get to hit them with as many people on base, it's even better. But I do think, to your point, Paul, the quality of our at-bats is better. I mean, even yesterday in the inning where Olivares hit the grand slam. I mean, we had two walks in that inning. We didn't go outside of the zone. We had the one inning yesterday where we only saw five pitches, but both Connor and Key hit balls right on the nose to the warning track. So I do think we're starting to have better at bats, more consistently, because I think, as we talked about last week, we were in a situation where we were not having consistent at bats. And I think we're trending more towards, throughout our lineup, having better at bats.
Keller was so good last night, so good. And I think my question is this, Shelty. I was listening to Joey Bart after the game talking about how some guys, you know, are power pitchers. Some guys have the finesse game. You know you have somebody, and I'm paraphrasing him, somebody special, or at least could be somebody really special, when they have both. And Mitch has both. And this is me talking now. That kind of reminds me of Charlie Morton when he was here. Like, he had such a vast arsenal that you wondered if he was ever going to be able to control it. You know what I mean? Like what to throw and when. But, man, when he does that, it's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, and I think last night was the best we've seen Mitch with the full arsenal. There's been times that we've seen the fastball better, the cutter better, or the curveball or changeup, but full combination last night was the best we saw it. And I think it really got highlighted by the fact that he maintained his velo into the ninth. I mean, he threw a couple pitches at 95 in the ninth. He threw a cutter at 93 in the ninth. And that's what maintaining all your weapons is. And last night we saw him have the full repertoire.
A number of guys in your rotation right now that are pitching really, really well. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't necessarily know exactly what you're going to expect before the season, but I would have to believe that your rotation has been even a little bit of a pleasant surprise for even you. Is that an accurate statement, given how well all these guys have pitched?
I would say that's an accurate statement. I mean, we have really pitched well. I think the amount of innings, the quality starts that our group has given us, has really been a highlight, you know, in the early going, because our starting pitching has been not only really good, but really consistent.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Shelty, a great play last night, kind of a strange play. You don't usually, I forget who was running home for the Angels, but it looked like he thought he could sort of just walk to home plate. Meanwhile, the relay comes into Cruz, he guns it home. And I thought Bart made a really good play. So, how about that play from your vantage point? And B, is your team finally starting to be the defensive team that you envisioned this season?
Yeah, I think we're getting better defensively. Over the last probably 10 to 12 games, we have played better defensively. And to the first point, or the second point of that, Joey made a nice play. I mean, he made a nice deke standing there looking for the ball. And then there's not many shortstops in the game that are making that play. And I think the one thing that gets highlighted, or should be highlighted on that play, is that ball's in right center field. And O'Neill does a really good job becoming the lead guy in the cut. You don't see a lot of shortstops become the lead guy in the cut in that situation. And it's something that we have tried to do with O'Neill as much as possible, because once the ball gets in his hands, I mean, there's a weapon with the right arm. So overall, it was just a really good baseball play.
You know, back to your rotation for a second. You've got three guys that look like they're on track to get, I don't know, 185, 190 innings or more, and a fourth that probably is going to get very close to that. I know, you know, modern day baseball, we've got all these analytics and all these different ways, and people want to do bullpenning and they want to use openers and all this. But how big of an advantage is it if you've got four guys that can eat up 180 plus innings?
Well, yes. I mean, it's very fortunate. And there will be times we have to get creative, you know, if we're going to give guys days. I think where we've been really fortunate, you know, early on in the season, is we've been able to give guys that sixth day. I mean, I think Mitch is our only starter that's thrown on a regular rotation, and that's been twice. Everybody else has been one time. That extra rest is really important, and then can lead to, you know, building up innings. And it's something that, you know, we will be mindful of again after this next stretch. We get some off days where we can do that again. So being thoughtful about that, because it just keeps pitchers stronger.
Shelty, McCutchen the other day absolutely shredded umpires, really. The strike zone this year said the strike zone's horrible. The strike zone sucks. We can't not talk about it. Isn't what it used to be. We used to have umpires back there that cared enough about their zone. I mean, this was as strong as you'll see anybody rip the whole strike zone situation. It leads to a lot of questions. I got two. Does that make it hard on you? Because these are the guys calling the games every night, and especially the strike zone is every single pitch. Does it make it hard on you? That's A. And then B, if you believe that that's true, that the strike zone has widened, is it then incumbent to preach more aggressiveness with your hitters? Like, hey, you got to be swinging.
Well, I think, number one, it doesn't make it more difficult for me. I mean, you know, if we see something that we don't like, we're definitely going to voice our opinion. I mean, you guys have definitely seen me do that over the last 4 or 5 years. And then the second thing is, you know, umpires are professionals and they're being evaluated. So, you know, it's one of those things. People are going to have feelings about it, and I respect those feelings. But overall, if it's something that, you know, we feel we need to talk about, we will definitely talk about during the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing is that we've seen more and more players actually go down that route that McCutchen has, almost like, you know, they're not quite as afraid of being fined. But isn't there like a big does the league fine you guys for voicing your opinions on umpires? Isn't that still a thing?
Well, I will tell you that I will not voice my opinion on umpires because I am definitely staying away from fines.
Right. Okay. I did. That's what I thought. I wasn't sure if that was a thing still or not. Joe was talking about your defense. I watched Michael A. Taylor in center field. I don't know that I've seen a guy as good as him in a long time. And he's what makes him so good in defensively?
Defensively is his routes and his breaks. I mean, this is a guy that's won a Gold Glove. And definitely, I mean, he makes difficult plays look easy, and he covers a lot of ground out there. And I think he's been a big help. We're talking about our starting pitchers and you know, how good they've been early on. When you have outfield defense like that, that is definitely helpful. And Michael has really kind of solidified our outfield and center field.
Couple more minutes here with Pirates manager Derek Shelton. We had Jared Jones was on yesterday with Andrew Filippone, and he was great. Not overly talkative, but what he says is pretty interesting. And one was that he pitches ticked off. You know, that's like his approach to pitching is I pitch ticked off. And Andrew said, well, what changed in the offseason? Because you walked a fair amount of guys last year. And he said during this offseason, whenever I would throw a ball, you know, when he was working bullpens or whatever, he would get ticked off every time. So my question is, when you have a guy like that, sometimes you hear in sports, Shelty, like, don't play angry. But then with some guys, you kind of want them to play angry. Where's the line with Jones?
Well, I think his motivation right there shows you that he has focus on certain things. And the focus was like being in the strike zone and being in attack mode. And we've definitely seen the benefits of that. And there's certain players that have to play, you know, with that edge or, you know, ticked off. I don't know if you used the word ticked off, but knowing Jared, he probably did not.
He didn't.
So, I mean, some people need that edge. Some people need, you know, to go the other way, and they need to be a little bit loose. But I think we've seen for Jared, it's definitely working.
Small sample size, I know, for your for your starter for tonight's game, Quinn Priester. But in the two or three games or whatever he's started since he's been back, have you seen a lot of, you know, what I would call progress from maybe when you last saw him last year? You know, some of the struggles that he had. Does it feel like he worked on some things and got better in some areas he needed to?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it's still, for Quinn, it's staying in the attack mode, you know, going right after people. I mean, you know, in his last start in Oakland, really good job, gave up a base hit, did a couple walks, was able to get out of it. But, like, staying in attack mode, staying on the plate, and letting his stuff play is the main thing, just not giving away free passes.
All right, Shelty, all of that is important, but not as important as this. Paul and I were honored to throw out the first pitch the other day. I love the fact that you came over and said hello. You're about to compete in a Major League Baseball game, but you took a moment. You were inspirational to both of us. This is how it went. I don't know if you stuck around to actually watch it, but take a listen when I think this was Pirate Joe, the pregame guy, announced this when Paul took the mound. Here we go.
Here's tonight's game time first pitch representing the fan. Let's hear it for Paul Zeiss. He's throwing to Joe Starkey. Yeah!
And he threw a strike. Did you hear those cheers, Shelty?
It was unbelievable. So there was a couple things that stood out to me. Number one, that you turned your hat around backwards, so I did pay attention.
Yeah, that was big.
And overall, I mean, if there was one word I would describe it, it would be incongruent.
I looked down and said, boy, this is a really long way to throw a baseball. And I had you in my head because you're like, if you screw this up in any way, you're going to hear about it Tuesday. So I was very nervous.
Yeah, and I actually, let's go back to cleaner. I don't think I said screw it up.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. The FCC doesn't, you know, yeah. We make sure we always comply with a certain.
See, you guys don't want to get fined either. It's same thing.
Exactly.
Right. Except when Pompiani's in here, he swore each of the past 2 weeks we had to dump it and almost got fired.
Godfather can do whatever he wants.
That's true. Yeah. All right, Shelty. Well, thank you. For what it's worth, Jason Mackey was on this morning, and he thinks that Skeens is going to pitch here on Saturday. That's according to his Mackey planner. And if you're looking for early holiday gifts, I can get you a 2-for-1 on Mackey planners, if interested.
No, I'm good.
Thank you,
I'm
Shelty.
Good. See you.
See you.
See you, man. Thank you, Shelty. That was tremendous.
Yes.
But we don't have an answer, Paul.
Well, I didn't think we were going to get an answer. And here's the thing, for all the people out there that say, you never asked the tough questions.
What else was I supposed to
ask? We asked him about 15 different ways about Skeens. He didn't give us the answer. It is what it is. Guy, you can't make a guy. All you can do is ask the questions.
He's scheduled to pitch in Indy.
Yeah.
That's it. I tried in every way possible. So I said, is the door still open? He's scheduled to pitch in Indy.
I mean,
is there any chance he'll pitch here? There's still a chance he's going to pitch here. Would you agree based on that interview?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I appreciate his willingness to be so, you know, coy, you know what I mean? And his willingness to not be pinned down. But you cannot convince me that he doesn't know what the plan is. Like, I guarantee you, he knows.
Of course.
He knows
of
the
course.
Plan, right?
But that's why I asked him, I said, good-naturedly, could you please just, why hold it back? And like I said to him, it's probably above your pay grade, but just tell us, will you please? Somebody out there, tell us when Skeens is pitching.
Yes, exactly.
What's the value in not telling us? There has to be a plan.
Well,
is it based on how he performs? Like if he has one bad game, the whole plan is scrapped? He didn't even have a bad game the other day. Like if he gets blown up in a start. Another month.
He wasn't nearly as fond of my conspiracy about the Indianapolis and Altoona movement.
Yeah. Yes. So we're left with this. Plus, I thought I could interest him in a special on Mackey planners. He wanted no part of that, Paul.
Yeah. Well, that's because he has to deal with Mackey.
I thought he wanted to be organized moving ahead here, maybe enter Skeens' name into his Mackey planner for Saturday so he remembered. I don't know. Your thoughts on this out there? I tried. We tried. It's still up in the air. I still think he's going to pitch here this weekend. Do you?
Yeah.
Or are you less convinced of that?
I do. And the thing about it is, and one of the reasons that I do is because, as we talked about, if it's not this weekend, right, they don't play – if he doesn't come up for this Cubs series, they don't play back here again until May 21st against San Francisco.
I know, and then we're getting very close to Super 2, which people hear that and say, what are you talking about? I understand that. Believe me, it's ridiculous. All this means is if they get to June 8th, I think, is the date. If they keep him down until approximately June 8th, that means that he can't go to arbitration a year earlier than expected, right?
Right.
So they can keep him. They can keep him from going to arbitration for that one extra year, which simply is a money saver. That's all, because either you're stuck on a salary or you go to arbitration and you're, you know, blowing people away like we expect him to. He could earn millions and millions of dollars through arbitration that year.
Right.
So it's a big money saver. And you can't help but wonder if they're waiting for that. I don't think they are. I don't think so. I think he's going to be here this weekend. But you're right. You just said it. What if he opens against the Giants just like Gerrit Cole did? What day of the week was Gerrit Cole? Was that a Wednesday? As I recall, Little City Limits?
I will find out.
I think it was a weeknight for sure. Boy, I wish they'd let Skeens hit like they did Cole that. Now, well, Cole was, you know, you had to hit then.
Right.
I think Skeens could actually help this lineup.
He might actually be a better hitter than some of the guys they have there.
You want to throw him in against the Atlanta Braves to start out with that weekend? I mean, at that point, by the end of that homestand, you're practically into June anyway. Those were the original projections.
It was a Tuesday night. 30,000 in attendance.
What was the date?
June 11th.
June 11th. So.
So what if they bring? What if it takes till June 11th to bring him up?
People will be very angry, and they're in St. Louis on June 11th. Before that, they have the Dodgers and Twins at home.
The Dodgers against Tyler Glasnow.
That would be tremendous.
Enjoyable.
What did you take from that limit?
June 4th.
June 4th against who? The Dodgers?
The Dodgers against Tyler Glasnow.
On a Tuesday night?
It's a Tuesday night.
How about Shelty dropping Increnculant? So does Jolie Nelson. I'm very proud of that.
I mean, everybody loves Increnculant. Increnculant?
Wait, what did we just say? Oh, I was asking you what you think. What did you take from that?
I can tell 100% he knows something and is not telling us. Like, there's something. And it might not be, yes, Paul Skeens is 100% coming up on Saturday or on Friday. But there is definitely, at least in my opinion, more to it, just in kind of the mannerisms of how he was going about it, that he knows and he's going to lead on. And I would expect him to. I mean, Ben Cherington is not going to leave him completely in the dark on one of the best prospects in Pirates history and one of the most polarizing figures since Andrew McCutchen won the MVP in 2013.
Right.
He's got to know.
Well, Adam Crowley, who ruined our first segment today, did some very good sleuthing on his show. And he said they announced Gerrit Cole, you know, when he made his debut, on the 8th of June that year, and he pitched on the 11th. So they could announce this afternoon, according to that timeline, or tomorrow afternoon, if Skeens is going to pitch on Saturday. I'm going to go ahead and assume that that's going to happen. That's my prediction. That's what I'm left with after all of this. I have no idea what the value is in waiting, none whatsoever. Can either of you think what the value would be in waiting?
Well,
no.
Maybe.
Is it a procedural thing? I don't know.
Maybe that. Maybe they have to wait a day. So they can make corresponding moves. You know, maybe they have to, maybe they're going to wait to the end of the Anaheim series here to make whatever moves they're going to make. I mean, honestly, if at the very least, if Nick Gonzalez isn't called up this week, I'm not sure what they're doing.
Well, your thoughts next on Skeens.
I can live without them. I can live without them bringing up Skeens as long as the pitching is good. I mean, I don't like it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I do think that they don't, I mean, necessarily really need Skeens right now. They need help hitting.
Well, you always need a guy like that, I think. I mean, Bailey Falter's been good, but this guy could be. Every team needs.
Believe me, I'm not saying that you know what I mean. I'm not saying that.
So, are you saying if you had a choice of call ups, you'd take Gonzalez over Skeens right now?
Probably. I'd take Gonzalez. If you ask me, a package: Gonzalez, Bay, and Lamb. Yeah.
I'd take Skeens. Maybe I just want to see him. I just want to see him.
We all want to see him. But you're not. I don't think you're really hearing what I'm saying here.
I am. They need hitting more than pitching. Well, they scored nine runs the last two games.
Right.
You could call up every pitcher in the minor leagues who's good, or every hitter, and I still want to see Skeens over all of them.
Right.
I know they need hitting more than, but you always need him. They've also given up, they've had games that have given up 5-5-4. You know, this guy wins you games like Jones did. They won a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
So you could also make the argument that because they don't hit, they need even better pitching.
True.
I think we've both made good points here, City Limits.
True.
928-9370. He definitely changed his haircut in response to the Neutron nickname.
Yes.
Did he not?
I think it's a lot more tame.
He's tampered it down.
It is definitely what I thought of this morning. You know, I got to make sure I put no product in my hair today because Joe is going to want to point it out.
Because I think you're against the Neutron name. There's a definite change here. Your hair is tampered down. It looks before it was spiked up. You came in really confident with the Neutron look.
Yeah, that's what happens when it's freshly cut. You put like nice little product in your hair so that it stands up. And today I didn't put any in it. I thought it was flowing nicely already. And sometimes it just droops down. It happens.
Droops is a good word. Do you get a charge from a haircut like I do? I think haircuts are life-changing. I've started new exercise regimes. I've gone out and bought, like, a car after a haircut.
Well, I'm weird. When I get my haircut, I always go, like, they took, like, maybe a little bit too much off, or do I really like how much is there in the front of it? And then 2 days later, I'll love my haircut.
But
right when it's cut, right away, I won't.
Yeah, I love it right out of the gate.
I do.
You, Paul?
I love a really good haircut.
Doesn't it feel renewing?
When they cut.
Cathartic.
I like, what's that place we talked about, Sports Clips, where they give you the little shampoo thing afterwards.
Right, and a shoulder massage.
And they put the hot towel on your face.
The hot towel.
That's how it's supposed to get done.
I come out of there feeling like I could run for office. I'm telling you that right now. I don't know, you have that experience. I think other people do.
Yeah.
We're getting Destiny's Child all set here. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. So you have a video hookup there, Limits?
Yes, he's connecting to the video.
This is very exciting. Shelty doubled down. It seemingly doubled down on, well, what did he double down on? He simply said again that he's scheduled to pitch, but there might have been a clue in here, Paul. The word no was uttered in a certain context, and I want us all to see how we interpret this no. And we're going to have to listen to it to hear exactly the context it was in. How did you come out of the Shelty interview? Feeling like Skeens will be here or not this weekend?
I would say the same. I would say the same as I did before the interview, which was, I feel like he's going to be here and pitch on Saturday. But it didn't really strengthen my thoughts, and it really didn't do anything to hurt my thoughts, because at the end of the day, he didn't really say anything different. And as I said before, Joe, for the entire crowd that believes that we don't ask the tough questions, that was a great example. We asked him every way you could possibly ask him about Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
And he just didn't give us an answer. And here's the thing. I'm okay with him not giving us an answer. This is what I always tell people. One of my biggest pet peeves, right, is when these media relation types or these coach types try and tell you what you can and cannot ask about. If we're having a news conference or we're having an interview, I'm going to ask you the questions I need to ask, because I answer to my boss and my readers, not you. Right? And I've had contentious kind of back and forth with media relation types at various times, where I've said, listen, I don't work for you. So, if he wants to say, I'm not going to answer that question, or he wants to get indignant about it, that's fine. But I got to ask the question. And so my thing is, I'm okay with a guy not answering the question or evading the question or whatever, right? Just don't tell me I can't ask it. But he knows when he comes on today, he knows that's going to be the subject, right? He knows that that's what we're going to be talking about. So he was ready for it, and it was fine. It was fine. I have no problem with how he answered it. But my point is, it didn't change my opinion one way or the other about whether Skeens will be here this weekend or not. I just feel like, okay, sounds good, man.
And he also said, I'm good, when I asked him about a Mackey planner.
Well, that was just fun. That was just fun and funny.
You think he'd like to scribble that one in Saturday? It's not even his job to announce these things. It's Charrington's.
Yes.
Let's put ourselves in their shoes. Are we having a problem with Destiny's Child here?
No, he got off of a call late. He just confirmed to me. So it should be in the next 30 seconds
tell
or so.
Maybe he
was on the line with Indy, right?
Maybe.
Tell him that we are his priority and he shouldn't be on another call.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
The hell is this?
He even tweeted out that he was coming on the show. And then he's not here. Where is he?
Yeah, he's currently on a call and he says that he's currently finishing it up and thought that it would not be interfered by this. It was an 11:30 call. That's a long conference
All right.
call.
Okay.
What kind of call is this? Who is he talking
to?
Yeah,
who's he
talking
to?
Find out who he's talking to. Because if it's someone we don't like, it's going to really piss me off.
Break in and find out who he's talking to.
All right, we'll find out.
Put yourself in their shoes and try to imagine why you would keep this from being out there in public, Paul. Is it because if you say that Skeens is coming up and then he blows up in a couple starts, you look bad because you wouldn't bring him up? Well, it's hard for me to find a way to get inside their heads on this.
Well, maybe I can give you one. Maybe we're both completely wrong and they haven't officially made a decision yet whether they're going to bring him up or not.
Let's bring on Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. Andrew, how are you? There he is. He's on.
Hey, nice you to join us. I'm glad we could be important enough to make your, make your schedule today.
Oh, it's the inverse. I'm just glad you guys would think highly enough to ask me on and have me in the visual medium too. It's the first time coming on the call with you guys.
It's absolutely incredible. Who are you on the line with? And if you don't mind my asking, and is there any breaking news we should know about?
Nothing breaking news-wise, but working ahead on a story actually ahead of Mother's Day, looking at talking about the Hayes family. So I was on the phone with Brian's father, Charlie, just talking about his wife, Jalinda, who's been a huge influence on the family. I'm kind of tipping my hand for the story that's coming out this weekend, but obviously a huge influence on Brian. He talks super highly of her. I caught up with Brian yesterday saying how big of an impact that she's been on him with raising him and helping him get to the big leagues. So stay tuned. Story coming out later this week on that. But yeah, just catching up with Mr. Hayes.
Postgazette.com. All right, the big question. We just had Shelty on. He again said all he would say is that Skeens is scheduled to pitch. Although, can we play for Paul and also for Destiny's Child? There's a little no here, Andrew. There's a little no that you'll notice. And I wonder how we all interpret this. City limits, you can go from the top, but you can just cut it off after his answer on that question, okay? Is the door open at least for that? In other words, are you as an organization still unsure or not saying if it'll be in Indy or with the Pirates? Is there a chance he could pitch for the Pirates this weekend?
No, he's scheduled to pitch in Indy. I mean, as we continue to talk through everything with every single player, you can always say there's a chance, but right now that's where we're at.
That doesn't sound hopeful the more I listen to that, Paul. I said, and it was a little bit of a convoluted question for which I apologize, but I finished it with, is there a chance he could pitch for the Pirates this weekend? He said, no, he's scheduled to pitch in I think they're in Louisville, but for Indy. And then he said that he dropped the Jim Carrey line. There's always a chance.
Now that I've heard that,
what do you make of that?
Now that I've heard that, I'm going to change my official position. I'm now leaning to he will not be here this weekend.
How about you, Andrew?
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I kind of lean that direction too. And I know everybody's kind of circled this May 9th, May 10th date, and this isn't anything particular other than, I think where it comes to for me is the starting pitching has not been an issue. I feel like this would be a much more pertinent topic if somebody in the rotation was really struggling and needed to be pulled out. But the reality is I'm kind of beating a broken drum here or a broken record, but it's the hitting that's been an issue, right? It hasn't been the starting pitching. So to me, there's nothing super pressing about needing to call Paul up other than the reality is that he probably is ready, right? He's been lengthened out. He's made enough minor league starts. He's dominated the competition there. So that's not really to play devil's advocate, but more so that there hasn't been an obvious need that he has to come up here. And if they don't call him up, that, the team will continue falling. They've won three in a row and have gotten great starting pitching really all season. So that's kind of where I stand on the hill, I guess, about it.
Well, I mean, I hear you that the rotation has been way better than I thought, but you have a guy carrying a 4.3 ERA. Mitch Keller was very good last night. Obviously, he's not coming out of the road. He's very good, and he's going to get better, I think. But Bailey Falter, I mean, Skeens can help you win right now. Even if hitting is the main issue on the team, this is a guy that can help you right now. So to me, it's immaterial how good the rotation is compared to the hitting. The only question that matters to me is, should Paul Skeens be here or not? And the answer to me is very much yes. He should be here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he should be here. I'm not disagreeing with that in any regard. I think it's more that the starting rotation and Bailey Falter in particular has built himself, some degree of credibility just with the start of the season that he had, where he had a run of four starts where he only gave up four earned runs. The last two, to me, you know, I've talked about this and written about this, that the last two starts where Falter hasn't looked quite as good, that probably makes it easier to move him to the bullpen. There's also the conversation of, could you go to a six-man rotation to help alleviate the burden on guys like Jared Jones and Paul Skeens? But then at that point, it becomes a little bit hypocritical, and I know this is a point that Paul has made earlier in the season, is that, well, why wouldn't you have the guy start the season in the big leagues then if you're trying to manage the workload and manage the innings? You could have that start the season in Pittsburgh. So he absolutely deserves to be here just based on what he's done in AAA. I think the only thing really that's keeping him in Indianapolis for the time being, or why the team isn't publicly stating as much, is because that rotation has built itself some more credibility than expected, which is not a sufficient reason, but I think it's why we're at the reality we're at, where it's the Pirates aren't making it abundantly obvious, because, you know, otherwise they would want to hype this up, right? A weekend start, a home game at PNC Park, you'd want to get on the front end of that and say, hey, Paul Skeens is going to start this day, sell as many tickets as humanly possible, try to sell out the place if you can do that. But if you're not doing that on Tuesday afternoon, maybe by Wednesday or Thursday you can get to it and still get the kind of ticket yield you want. But you'd have to think that that would be something that's in the Pirates' best interest, right?
My question to you, Andrew, is forget about Paul Skeens. Why have they not called up Nick Gonzalez? They actually need hitting. The guy's been hitting in the minors. And as Joe pointed out, he's cooled off a little bit, but he's still hitting. Why have they not called him up? This is a guy who was a first-round pick as well. This is a guy who they actually drafted to be a hitter. And they need guys that actually can hit. Can you explain why he is still in Indianapolis and why it doesn't seem like there is any hurry to bring him up here?
Yeah, I think from everything I've heard from talking to different people is that the intention there was to get him a couple hundred at-bats. He's getting closer to that. He's, I believe, the last I checked, surpassed that 100 at-bat threshold. But the plan really with Nick Gonzalez was some of the swing tweaks that he made. You know, he was a guy who had a really steep swing last year, was really prone to strikeouts. While the results were great at the front end, I think there was kind of this idea in mind of get him a couple hundred at-bats, let him get really comfortable with that swing, with that approach before they bring him up here. I think that's more the rationale on their side. From my side, I look at it as he has demonstrated that he's very comfortable swinging this way, that he's produced those kinds of results. So I look at it as there's really no reason for Nick Gonzalez not to be up here. One thing I've written about is, you know, the only curiosity there is, how does that impact the way that the Pirates manage that infield? And to me, I guess the other component is, if you call Nick Gonzalez up, you probably want that to be in an everyday role. You don't want that in some utility role where he's only starting three times, four times a week. So to me, the solution there would be Nick Gonzalez becomes your everyday second baseman, and Jared Triolo goes into a utility role where he's bouncing around the infield, getting some starts in the outfield. Maybe that's something that's not in the Pirates' best interests right now, just given how well defensively Jared Triolo has played at second, because he's been one of the better defenders in baseball. So that's a multifaceted answer, but I look at it as, hitting-wise, Gonzalez has been great. They want him to get a bunch of at-bats there, and they probably don't want to disrupt what they've got with Triolo right now, which hasn't been such a detriment with the bat. He's been league average, a little bit below, with an above-average glove.
Wait, Triolo's been horrible at the plate, has he not?
He has recently, but in terms of just overall stats on the season as a whole, recently he has not been good, though. I completely agree.
Well, he's hitting... What's he hitting? He's hitting
.221 with .310, .265 with a .576 OPS.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
That ain't good.
I mean, nope. Where is Peguero? Where is Bay? What about Lamb? Like this, I'm wondering if they've put a Band-Aid, you know, on a mortal wound with their offense here by what's happening against Colorado and the Angels. Sooner, I guess this is good news, though. But sooner rather than later, I'd like to see some of these guys called up to help a dying offense. All those guys I just mentioned are hitting above 300 down there, and some of their other stats are very, very good. Lamb is hitting over 400.
Yeah, I mean, Lamb in particular, you look at what he did in spring training, too. I mean, he had a great spring with Lamb. It's just been the production at the MLB level hasn't really been there the last few years since he wasn't a regular, but you know, I view it as the same as you guys. These guys have earned opportunities to be here for myriad reasons. It just hasn't happened. The Triolo point, yeah, I mean, the bat hasn't been great. The glove is something that they've obviously prioritized. And in the last 2 weeks, the defense across the board with the team has gotten a lot better. Yeah. That's maybe something that rises to my mind is, okay, you know, Leover Peguero, when he was here last year, that's an inconsistent defender. He had struggles defensively, whether it was at short or second base when he was in the big leagues last year in the minors. He's cleaned that up, certainly, but I wonder if how big of an impact is defense into all of this, because Jake Lamb can play a little bit of corner outfield, can play a little bit of third base and first base, but you've kind of got some log jams there, right, with Cabrian's playing there every day. Triolo can play third base if Hayes takes a day off. So maybe it's lineup redundancy, which that becomes more of a question of why were you constructing this organization, old depth chart, the way that you did, because it's kind of redundant, but yeah, I mean, a guy like Bay, he's got a great tool. He has a lot of speed. He can put the ball in play and has been hitting the ball well. The two guys to me, really, I would say Bay and Gonzalez would be the two that I'd like to see up here sooner than later. With Peguero, it's kind of a similar point to the one I made about Gonzalez, where if he's here, you want him playing every day, and you just want to make sure that those opportunities are there. I don't know that they exist. If you still think highly of Triolo, part of me wonders almost even if, hey, if Triolo's hitting really continues to plunge, then maybe that's a guy who's a AAA candidate, and you bring up a couple of guys like Gonzalez and Peguero to guarantee they're both getting at bats, and one of those two can bounce around the infield a little bit more.
You look at the four guys that have played catcher for them this year, and I think they're combined, and I'm just trying to do the math real quick in my head right here, they're combined somewhere in the neighborhood of about 18 for 120. How is it possible that you can have four? And remember Joey Bart. Really, I mean, he came up and he was like five of his first eight or something, and he's reverted to being Joey Bart ever since. How can they have four catchers who are so bad at hitting right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you have to look at the track record too a little bit, right? I mean, Yasmani Grandal, that was, to me, something that was certainly a point of caution when they signed him after the last couple of years in Chicago with the White Sox, where he really struggled at the plate. Obviously, this is very early. He's coming off the rehab assignment, but Joey Bart, what he demonstrated in San Francisco, this was very unsustainable. And that's by no means a personal attack on Joey Bart, but just given that he has a lot of swing and miss in his game, that's what he demonstrated in the big leagues with the Giants. He was due for some regression to the mean. We've seen that. He's a guy who in his career is right around a 200 hitter with some pop. He can hit the ball far, but it's going to strike out a lot for you. And Henry Davis, you know, that was something that Ben Charrington said on here with you guys is like, yeah, hitting fastballs was really troublesome for Henry Davis. We haven't seen that at any level. That's something that's certainly concerning. And with Jason DeLay with the bat, yeah, I mean, that's never been his true calling card. So, with the hitting, I don't think you looked at it and said this is going to be a strong suit. You were hoping for league average defense, maybe a little bit more when you bring on board a guy like Grandal. Bart, you'd hope, would be a little bit better defensively than he has been. Davis has maybe exceeded expectations a little bit there when he was here in the big leagues, but overall catching has certainly been a spot that was of concern heading into the year and remains a concern throughout the rest of the year.
Andrew Destin, you can read his stuff at postgazette.com, AKA Destiny's Child. Have you seen since your appearance on opening day, your celebrity rise, your Q rating rise in Pittsburgh, Andrew?
Perhaps just a little bit. I'd say my place in Lawrenceville, I don't think I'm getting noticed too much around these parts. I try to keep it quiet, but I give credit to you guys. I certainly got a lot of support from the family back home for the chants. They got a good kick out of that one.
The crowd went wild.
Joe, the thing about he says he's writing a story about the Hayes family.
Yeah.
Where can we find out when that story's going to run?
Ooh, looks like it's going to be this weekend. I think Friday you guys will see that on post.
That's not sufficient. We need it in
writing.
No,
we're going to find out in the Mackey planner. That's where. And I also want to see John Nunnally quoted in that story, if at all possible, please. Okay?
Can't say I talked to nuns on this one, but I'll report back to you, Joe.
Where is Nuns these days?
Still doing some hidden work, I believe. Think he's around the area of somewhere in western Pennsylvania, but I haven't touched base with him in a little while.
Does Key Brian still go to see him?
Believe so, but I'm not positive on that one. I'd have to, probably best not to quote me on that one, but I'd have to circle back with you guys.
Very touchy subject around the old ball club.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Key Brian's very happy here, so is Charlie. Yeah. They're thrilled to have him around these parts, that's for sure.
That's great. And if you do ever plan out a meeting with John Nunnally, be sure to put that in your Mackey planner. Thank you, Destin Eastchild.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Paul, he doesn't want any part of the controversy, does he? Destiny's Child
no,
yet?
No, he's a very good man.
Very good man.
By
yes.
the way, real quick, did you see the breaking news
no.
while we were on?
What?
Breaking there, wide receiver news.
There's one more wide receiver off the board, and of course, it's for half the money that he could have gotten.
Make
from
that a tease.
Okay.
Make it a tease for 1 o'clock. That is a classic radio tease.
Got it.
I will abstain it from the headline.
Abstain
then.
And we'll go at 1 o'clock. That way everyone stays tuned in. Do you see how this works? Limits?
Nothing like a critical radio tease.
Oh, is this great. And then we'll talk about Skeens. Listen, what's your reaction out there? I don't want to speak for you. Are you ticked off that A, you don't know, and B, that it might not happen? Did anybody out there buy tickets? Or
me!
Limits raises his hand. Or are you fine with this? You've heard the rationale. Very rational people think that it's fine that he's still down there.